We're here on New Road. It's actually the day before the second Fringe City weekend at Brighton Fringe, but people are flyering and they deserve to get big audiences when they flyer on a Friday. And I'm joined by...
Danny Rogers.
And we're talking about a show called Bin and Gone, and this is already going around Brighton on the grapevine because there's a certain personality that's involved in this show that may not be a person but is about as famous as you can get.
Yes, that's Dusty Bin, yep.
And it is the real one.
It is, yeah, one of the real ones, yeah. My dad has one of the original three Dusty Bins that moved, so he's in Brighton. You can come and get a picture with him after the show, but it's a bit more than just that. Obviously, that's sort of a good way of like people remembering the show, but it's a lot more because it's me telling people about my dad's story and how the 80s and 70s, how they were, as well as what happened with the crash of the recession and how that affected my life after my dad passed away. So it's a completely different show, unique perspective.
Yeah. So who was your dad?
Ted Rogers.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard of Ted Rogers, because you're part of the millennials, Ted Rogers was a legend, wasn't he?
He certainly was, yeah, for anybody growing up in the 70s and 80s for primetime TV. He was sort of today, Anton Deck's Saturday Night Takeaway, yeah. Really.
Now, he was involved in that, but he's got a career that goes way beyond what we remember with Dusty Bin. He was a real character in the entertainment industry more widely, wasn't he?
That's right. Before, he worked with people like Tom Jones, Shirley Bassey, and he did, personally requested by Bing Crosby to do his last UK world tours, and sung a duet with him called Gone Fishing as well, which not many people knew about before 3-2-1.
Some people tell stories of having been, you know, born in the shadow of their parents, and that's done them a lot of good in their life, and the others have really suffered from being in that shadow. Was it a positive experience for you?
Yeah, I mean, he always was happy around us, so yeah, I used to love going around sort of tours with him and doing shows and things like that. So I mean, I've gone into the business myself, so it clearly did a great legacy for me. I clearly didn't hate it that much to not be doing it myself.
But give us a little hint of what, you know, through the eyes of a younger child, what was it like going on tour with someone like that?
It was amazing. Got to meet certain characters. I got to meet people like Jet from the Gladiators or Michelle Collins. I would sit on her knee and show all my toys, and she's in EastEnders now and things like that. So it was bizarre meeting all these people, but it just became the norm, really.
So bring us up to date to the moment where, obviously, it's always sad losing your parents. I lost my dad this year at 89, and what you have to do is celebrate, don't you?
But that's it. You remember that person, and what's different for me for anybody else is that I have all this archive footage. Nobody else who doesn't have a famous parent, they don't have that to relate to. So for me, I'm constantly finding out stuff about my dad that I didn't know existed, which is quite weird.
Yeah. So then give me the story of how that turns into a show that you're performing here at the Fringe.
We kind of had the idea there'd been a lot of tribute shows about other personalities such as Morecambe and Tommy Cooper and things, but this was sort of different, how about people knowing about my dad and finding out other stuff about them who have lost a parent and how that affects them, as well as the facade of like fame. It may look all glamorous, but there's a different side to it that, you know, people put on a face, but you know, there's a lot more happening behind the front of this person who's gone on stage.
Yeah. But also, I guess playing, you know, the Fringe and suite venues, whereas your dad was in massive venues, you know, millions of people, tens of millions of people. This is an intimate piece, I guess.
Yes, that's right. We wanted to make it nice and intimate for people to join in, and there's a bit of 3-2-1 in there as well for people to join with and participate. So that always gets quite a good response. But yeah, we want to keep it quiet and close and intimate and things. Yeah.
So with all of that material, how does that boil down to a script that's got to fit into a, you know, less than an hour?
It works. It's personal. It's truth. Nothing's fake, and it's not an actor portraying that person. It's the son of that parent who's living it, as well as the audience are at the same moment.
Did that script come easily, or was that, you know, did you churn that out over years?
No, it's been a long process. Yeah. I had the idea, and I went about it to a technician at my school who was a technician for a theatre, and he did a whip round to find a writer. We got talking, and then he said, yeah, we can piece something together. So then I met up with him, and he would ask me questions, quite personal questions, and then he kind of built it all together. We workshopped it, and then it came into a piece, and it's taken a good few years for it to come, and now it's been ready to gone out there, and it's been received quite well, which we are just amazed by, really.
But with that help and with too much material, how did you decide, well, that's in and that isn't? Because that must have been tough.
Yeah, it was tricky. But I think from seeing it from another person's perspective, obviously I've lived it. Yeah. So for them to say, no, these are key elements, then I was like, okay. And we did it, we made sure it was a way that no one was upset or anything. And every bit of information was kept in there that needed to be kept in there.
Yeah.
And friends and family have all said it's been amazing and, you know, a good heart tribute to a great man.
And so is that what you did at first? You showed it to friends and family and got feedback, and then you have to bring it to the public?
A little bit yes and a little bit no. For personal family members, I showed them the script to make sure that they were happy with it as much as I was. And then it was the case that The Fringe has been the first time for some of them that they've actually seen it firsthand, as well as the audiences. So it's been a case of a bit of both, really. But lucky enough, both have been well received, which has been a godsend, really.
So take me into one of your rehearsals. What were rehearsals looking like?
So rehearsals would just be a case of looking at section per section, and then sort of seeing if that works, and then sort of just keep running it and see what bits kind of worked. And then we timed it as well, and we wanted to make sure that it was an hour piece, so we did have to take certain pieces out there as well. But for all the information that we do have in there, everyone's gone away going, I never knew that about Ted Rogers or about myself or anything like that. So obviously, clearly, everything we've kept in has been right and correct.
Yeah, and I get the sense that, you know, if you knew Ted Rogers, you're going to come and see this. But even if you didn't, this is going to be a story of, you know, being the son of a very famous person. It's going to educate you about 70s, 80s TV.
That's certainly correct, yes. And also, even if you didn't grow in that time, it doesn't matter, because we do relate to television today of Britain's Got Talent, as well as, you know, anybody who's lost a parent. Everybody goes through that. Not one person or at some point in their life, unfortunately, will. So everyone can relate to that to a certain degree, really. So there's a piece of everything for everybody in the show, regardless if you knew who my dad was or about fame and things like that.
And as you perform it, does it feel like, and it doesn't have to be either or, but does it feel like this is a really good way to say goodbye, or are you staying in touch in a good way?
Yeah, it's a nice way to sort of go pay homage to the great man that was my dad. So that's the beauty of the piece.
And knowing him, of course, what do you think your dad, what would Ted say if he was sitting in the back row, you know, watching it?
He'll be saying, I can't believe you told everybody my actual age. I think that's what he would be saying, but no, he would be proud. Yeah. He would be proud, yeah.
Thanks very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you very much, Paul.